Welcome to The Scoop, brought to you by Indeed, your weekly dose of internal talent news from here and around the globe. So grab your popcorn and open your mind as I hand you over to our anchors from Tarpod, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Scoop. I'm Craig.
And I'm Lauren. So I hope you're all having a fabulous week and hump day today.
It is, yes. And we've just got back from a tour. We'll talk about that. Do you want to talk about that in events?
No, let's talk about that now. It was bloody good. We just did a site visit, everyone, for the ITERS to the Plaza Ballroom here in Melbourne. And every time I walk into that room, I fall more in love with it.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing venue.
It is. I think Bonnie nailed it when we were in there today. She said it's extremely grand and it really is one of those places that
But she said grand.
Fuck you. And she it really feels like a black tie event in there.
It does, it does. It's great.
It's just amazing. So I've got to say, people, it's just shaping up to be a bloody great event again.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. Can't wait. It's only a few short months away now.
We haven't started the ITERS diet yet.
Yeah, I know, right? Let me kick off, shall I?
Yes.
Okay, from CNBC, Nike CEO blames remote work for innovation slowdown, saying it's hard to build disruptive products on Zoom.
Did he have a chat with his brother over at Adidas?
Probably. I'm not sure if they're still alive. Nike CEO John Donahue, or Donahoe, depending on how you say it, blamed remote work for the company falling behind in innovation, saying it's tough to be disruptive when people work from home. He pointed out that during the pandemic, employees worked from home for 2.5 years. In February this year, Nike said it was shedding 2% of its workforce, 1,500 or so jobs, so it can invest in growth areas such as running, women's category, and the Jordan brand. In hindsight, he reckons, it turns out it's really hard to do bold, disruptive innovation to develop a boldly disruptive shoe on Zoom. He said the company is now focused more on in-person working environment moving forward.
Okay, that's interesting. Because on the Fin Review today, I was having a little bit of a read. Workers are rushing back to their desks as job fears grow.
Really?
I think because we're seeing a little bit of a lot of, not a lot of redundancies, but a lot of small redundancies where companies are doing this whole called, a restructure. I think these are the excuse that they're using now to become a bit more leaner and efficient. So anyway, the rising job security fears linked to the softening economy have driven the average office utilisation in Australia to its highest level since the pandemic, contributing to a partial reversal in the rush of city workers moving to the country, which is actually true. The average workplace utilisation rose from 31% in the final quarter of 23 to a post-pandemic high of 40% in the first 3 months of this year. Workplace sensor data provided exclusively to the Fin Review shows that the figure is at its highest since the 63.2% recorded in February 2020.
Interesting. I'm working on a role at the moment, and I spoke to a candidate the other day who's moved out to sort of central Vic. And he said, I would without a doubt move back into Melbourne for an opportunity like this. I think people who have moved out are...
Do you think they jumped the gun a bit early? Bit of reactionary after the lockdowns were severe. We were all, anyone in Melbourne in that lockdown time knows how bad it was. I think we've all got post-traumatic stress syndrome. But I do also think that the minute those lockdowns ended, when everyone went, fuck it, I'm moving to Queensland, I'm moving to country Victoria, I'm going to work 100% remote... They took a risk.
They did take a risk, but I think if I was in the same position, I probably would have taken that risk. I didn't think there was going to be this pushback to offices, not to the extent that it has. I don't think we've reached the top of it yet either.
Look, I think hybrid is here to stay. It is definitely my opinion. I think I enjoy the hybrid 2 to 3 days in the office and vice versa at home.
The digital nomad move is just really not...
Hey, I'm going to try it out in a few weeks' time. Yeah. I'll be recording The Scoop from Bali.
That'll be fun. Hey, I've got one here from Talent Partners. Australia's employment numbers hit new record in March, But is it just masking a deeper problem in our labour market? So the March 2024 figures have Australia's employment figures to unprecedented heights, hitting a record high of over 14.26 million people employed. According to Roy Morgan, the report reveals a complex landscape where part-time employment surged but full-time employment dwindled. So it says that there was a significant increase of 39,000 employed Australians over the month, but there was an increase of 295,000 in part-time roles and a decrease of 256,000 full-time roles. So 84% of new roles created were part-time. And, you know, the point is, are we at risk of becoming an underemployed society because some people can't find full-time work? It's interesting, though, isn't it, that we've got these beautiful figures. Oh, yes, more and more people are in work, but it's part-time.
Some state police forces, basically all of them bar one, are looking abroad for recruits as they face a shortage of trained officers. And this is coming from the ABC. We reported on something similar 18 months ago. It's now actually gotten bigger. So the police forces across the country are dealing with a shortage of recruits reaching into the thousands, with Tasmania the only state not looking to boost its numbers.
But you've got to have two heads to work in police force. Well,
I really think every recruit counts as two there. Anyway, we're never going to be allowed in Tasmania now.
True.
Nationwide, police jurisdictions are saying they are short by more than 4,000 officers, and some states are actively trying to poach officers from overseas to fill gaps. Mm. Now, I know that WA had done a drive about 18 months ago in the UK to get police officers. Now, New South Wales are looking for 1,500 more officers. Victoria and Queensland both have around 800 vacancies.
Wow.
South Australia is looking for 900 more recruits by 2026. And Northern Territory is about 200 officers short.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. But as I said, Tassie aren't recruiting in the police sector, but they have they're hiring 78 new paramedics to their ambulance service.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the biggest recruitment blitz that they've ever had in Tassie. That's coming from their health minister, Guy Barnett.
So with the police, they're not getting enough coming through the police academies. Not enough people are applying locally.
And they're not staying like they used to. Dad and I were talking about this because my dad was in the police force for about 30 years, 30 years till he retired. And it was one of those jobs for life type thing. They're getting to that 10-year mark and burning out.
Yeah.
And quitting. They're not really going past that. And some of them are just not looking at it as a career anymore once they get in. I don't know what the – you'd have to go into it. I think maybe we should get someone on the podcast from the police force, recruits.
I guess that there's a lot of money in private security too. So once you're in and you've got those skills, there's probably more money to be made outside of the police force.
Possibly
as well as obviously it's a high – stress
it's a very high stress job.
Yeah,
growing up in a household of a police person, it's very, very high stress.
Next one I've got is from the BBC, and it's about your friend Elon Musk.
Elon, I'm like that.
You're like that. Tesla are laying off more than 10% of its workforce in the EV cars. So in a memo which was first reported by news website,
are they going to go work at Twitter?
I think you got rid of everyone there too. The news website Electric, billionaire owner Elon Musk told staff there was nothing he hated more, but it must be done. So the world's largest electric vehicle maker by market value has 140,000 employees globally, but he's done a thorough review of the organisation and made the difficult decision to reduce headcount by more than 10%, it said in the email. The Tesla employee, who's been told he was let go, he also told the BBC that he'd been locked out of emails and other staff had been laid off as well. The markets reported the three main reasons behind this decision is increased production costs and reduced demand, inexpensive electric cars coming out of China flooding the market, and Elon Musk's investment in AI and robotics replacing as many roles as possible.
Just don't like him.
Don't you?
What?
Is it because he's got so much money?
No, he's just a dick.
Okay. We'll hear from Elon's lawyers shortly.
I just think he's a bit of a wanker, and I think he's a little bit up himself, and I just think – anyway, that's just my opinion. I just think he's a bit of a dick.
What do you got next?
I don't like him. I just don't like him. Anyway, LinkedIn have named their top companies for 2024, the 25 Ooh. Best workplaces to grow your career in Australia. And coming in at number one is CommBank.
CommBank?
Yeah, CommBank.
Well, we'll hope to see some.
Now, we do know that they have a very robust grad program, but all the four banks do. But they've got remote job availability of 91.15%.
Wow.
Mm, incredible, incredible. Coming in second place, NAB.
Another bank.
Yeah, NAB, which is also Bank of New Zealand and Nubank. So they come in, but their remote job availability is at 38.42%. I found that interesting. And I can't believe Telstra came in at number three.
Don't get me started on bloody Telstra.
Oh, God, tell me about it. And number four was by a superannuation firm, Australian Super, and number five was Super again with Rest. So
they're big companies, aren't they?
They are all very big companies. So I do find that the grad programs, when we look into those things, do have very robust, like the big four, the big four banks are very robust. I know Optus and Telstra have a good one. And number six was actually Alphabet Inc., which is Google. So YouTube, Nest, Fitbit, all of those companies fall into that. But you've got some really good Australian companies in there as well, such as Atlassian and Canva in the top 10.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, really good. Interesting.
Hey, I've got one from Shortlist, a little bit controversial, and I love it when and I love it when the guys at Shortlist do some old school investigative journalism. Oh. It's bloody brilliant.
Get in there, Yarn Event.
Get in there. So Saucer addressing misleading recruiter reviews. So following following complaints that its platform is creating an uneven playing field for its recruiters, Saucer says it's in the process of fixing an inadvertent issue with its Google review integration. So Shortlist themselves has received complaints from several recruitment industry leaders that the ratings and feedback on Saucer are not credible because the platform allows users to add false dates to reviews that are imported from third-party sites such as Google. So it's interesting because the issue is particularly significant given that Saucer is owned by which displays the reviews and ratings alongside its job ads, giving those recruiters an unfair advantage in the market, people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, hey? Not only that, but Saucer also seems to be currently displaying reviews from older than 3 years ago, which contravenes their own guidelines on their website.
I know, and they're constantly rabbiting on about, oh, we follow ACCC. I don't like the Saucer platform.
Mm. Well, that's a personal usage of yours. I don't think I've ever been on it, but I find it strange that the reviews they are using and, you know, like internal recruitment teams who have to sometimes engage third-party recruiters may look to these reviews to help them make a decision. And if these reviews are false in any way, that's, you know, muddying the waters a bit, isn't it? And to be fair to Saucer, though, they have come back recently to Shortlist and said, we inadvertently displayed the incorrect dates that the Google review were published. We're working on updating our API to ensure the original date posted on Google is reflected correctly.
Okay, I've got one more here for you. Workers could get rights to doubling their holiday.
Hey, wacko.
Oh, hold your horses there, Tiger. Don't get too bloody excited. Now, this is coming out of the Fin Review. Now, millions of workers soon to have the right to double their annual leave by taking it at half pay.
What? Oh, that's not...
Wait on. As part of a new entitlement under consideration by the workplace umpire, the Australian Council of Trade Unions and Employer Groups are close to consensus on introducing the right to industry awards to give staff and firms greater flexibility to allow for paid time off. However, this is where I've just cherry picked here, peeps. Both sides are still apart on the safeguards, with employers pushing for full discretion to refuse staff requests and unions arguing for refusals to be based on a reasonable criteria. Look, I'm with the employers on this one. Because really, can you afford to have someone out of the business for 8, 10, 12 weeks or whatever they've got up their freaking sleeve?
Yeah.
Because at the moment, like I can understand where there's a – like if I need to take a day off because of the kids or that type of thing, I can get a half day paid annual leave without it hitting the back pocket too much. You know what? Great plan. Or a week here and there. But if somebody's got 8 weeks of annual leave up their sleeve and they decide 16. They're going to take 16 weeks off, you've got to be able to have something in that place because your business is going to lose 4 months of an employee on the ground.
I think we're a long way off getting agreement on this.
We are nowhere near getting agreement on this because the employers are not going to wash at that. Like I think being able to do it for one, like say have 1 week turns into two at half pay, I'm thinking that's okay. But the employers cannot, you cannot afford to have a whole body out of your freaking business for a long period of time.
Especially without, small employers too,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly. If you're a small business, you can't afford that headcount loss.
No.
That's going to hit your back pocket as a business.
God, if Bonnie took 16 weeks leave, you and I'd kill each other.
I would be fucked. But also, the thing is, the fact that the unions are involved in this is what's frightening. Businesses can't afford it. Yeah. They really can't. But anyway, that's my opinion.
I agree. Hey, shall we go on to events?
Well, we do have a few up our sleeve, babe.
Yes.
Considering we just mentioned that we did a walkthrough.
Well, do you want to talk about that? ITA's noms are open.
Yeah, right? They are.
They are open. Jump on our website. We've got this swish new nomination platform that you'll get led to and you can start nominating. And the great thing is you can only do a little bit of it and then it'll automatically save and you can go back and finish it whenever you want.
It's actually a really good platform, Craig. You've done a great job getting it up and going.
I didn't develop it. We just sort of paid for it and set it up for us.
You're an idiot. You really are an idiot. Take credit where it's due, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
But, yeah, it was really exciting to do that walkthrough today because everything just becomes so much more real. The people over at the Plaza Ballroom, the Mariner Group, are amazing to work with.
And our super planner, Ginny.
Ginny is amazing, absolutely amazing. But I got to tell you, it's exciting. This shit's getting real. The Ida's diet starts soon.
I know,
it's
right?
All on like Donkey Kong.
That's it. I also have our wonderful partner, Indeed, has just introduced Smart Sourcing, a new AI-powered suite of products to make the hiring process faster, simpler and more efficient for both employers and job seekers. So Smart Sourcing uses AI to match the right people with relevant opportunities. If you want to find out more, there is an upcoming webinar to learn all about it. We're going to put the link in the show notes for you.
Absolutely. I've signed up.
Ooh, so have I.
Okay. So Monash Talent are teaming with Scalar, our friend Matt Woodard. They're partnering to bring you a series of webinars focused on creating greater impact with graduate hiring.
Brilliant.
Now, the first event's on May the 2nd, and it's got a panel. And so jump onto that. It's titled How to Get Students and Grads' Eyes Interested in Your Job Descriptions. And it'll be a discussion packed full of insights and valuable learning and key takeaways. So I think this also highlights the fact that you don't have to have a grad program to have a grad.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think it's a great initiative by Monash and Matt at Scalar. Okay, and also Matt flicked me a quick email to tell me that the Melbourne Talent Meetup, formerly known as the Artist of Melbourne Recruitment Meetup, is happening on May 23rd at the Robert Walters Swanky office on the corner of Queen and Collins Street here in Melbourne. Now, it's going to be a good one. It's all about AI. So you and I will be there on May 23rd for the Melbourne meetup. And also, I've got to say a big bloody thank you to Joe Voland over at ATC for letting us edit the tweet.
Yeah, that was so much fun, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. The tweet is the This Week in Talent newsletter that goes out by ATC every week. So sign up for it. We just loved editing it and it was such a good...
It was.
And there's so many different editors and the guest editors have different takes on so many different things and different ways of putting their opinions across. It was just such a really, really good thing to do.
Yeah, it was. It was great and we're very thankful for it.
I know. So get on there and sign up to tweet. All right. So you've got that. And also the State of TA survey that they've just closed. So next week, watch out. Joe is going to be promoting the webinar to go through the results of the State of TA here in Australia and New Zealand. So get involved, everybody. That will be some really interesting local insights.
Yes. Yes, 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 it will. I think that's about it for me this week.
It's definitely it for me this week.
That's been a big one. So we'll see you all again next week.
Bye, everybody.